Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and blessed by God, we come to worship one holy God. O God, our own God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. Your majesty is the music of the starry skies, yet even children of dust can sing your praises. In the name of the healer, the provider, and the enabler, let your gratitude and joy be made known. O God, our own God, how wonderful is your name in all the earth. Our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God who is creator, maker of all we see and all we don't see, who is ruler of the universe, source of all creation. We believe in one God who is Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God and true human. He is one with the creator, the Word made flesh, our Messiah, Savior of all creation. We believe in one God who is Holy Spirit, breath of God moving among us, who is one with the Creator, one with the Christ, our Comforter, and our Guide, Mentor of all creation. Amen.
Thank you.
Our first scripture reading comes from the 16th chapter of John, verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. For this reason, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great. What are you turning to wine? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like You, none like You. Into the darkness You shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like You, there's none like You. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, You're the name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against?
Name above all names,
stand against,
worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great
is our God. Is greater, our God is stronger. God, You are high.
Our scripture text is the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is Your name in all the earth! You have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants You have founded a bulwark because of Your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars that You have established, what are human beings that You are mindful of them, mortals that You care for them? Yet You've made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You've given them dominion over the works of Your hands. You've put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. King David opens and closes this psalm addressing the Lord, Sovereign God, whose majesty is a signature that is stamped across everything in creation. Sometimes my mind staggers and comes unglued at just the thought of how huge God's creation is and just how minuscule we are. traveling at the speed of light, it would take 100,000 years just to cross the width of the Milky Way. Scientists tell us that there are billions of Milky Ways, the work of God's fingers. What is even more staggering is that God knows each of us by name and loves us in spite of our worst attributes. A church was in the midst of a two-week revival. The town clown decided to liven things up a bit, so he got a devil costume from the local party store and waited until the night service was heating up. About the time the choir sang their third anthem and all the brothers and sisters were on their feet, waving arms and in the spirit, the devil burst through the doors and growled, "I'm hungry as a lion in a Roman Colosseum." Well, people scattered like gazelle being chased by a lion. Some went through the front and side doors, others leaped through the open windows. The preacher fainted dead away behind the pulpit, and the lead singer in the choir found a new way to access the steeple up through the baptistry. All you could see, everywhere you looked, was nothing but heels and elbows, except for dear Mrs. Bertha Peabody, who was sitting stone cold in the third pew from the front, a place she'd occupied every time that the church doors were open. The town clown devil moved menacingly toward Mrs. Bertha, and as he got within a step or two, Bertha stood up ramrod straight and pointed her index finger at the devilish face with horns and said, "Now you hold on, Mr. Devil. I want you to know my name is Bertha Peabody, and I'm a charter member of this here church. I'm president of the Women's Auxiliary Missionary Society. I've been an usher, a deaconess, lay preacher, and an annual conference certified Sunday school teacher for over 45 years. I tithe, sing solos, sweep up the sidewalks, and go out on visitation 3 times a week, and I've been baking pies for the church auction for longer than anyone around these parts, but there's one thing you just gotta know before you take another step towards me. I've been on your side all the time." It seems that there are times, perhaps not as ridiculous as Bertha's example, but times nevertheless, when life plays havoc with the faith we're supposed to exhibit in worshiping and serving this sovereign with a majestic name in whom we profess faith and to whom we claim allegiance. The question becomes, what kind of life does honor the majestic God that we would serve? For a child of God, and particularly for Wesleyan children of the faith, the answer is never very far from our hymnal. The baptismal covenant contains questions that are asked and answered as we make our profession of faith. These are vows by which we enter the church family. These questions and our answers frame for us the kind of life which honors the sovereign with the majestic name. When a person becomes a member of the United Methodist Church, we are asked to respond to 7 basic, fundamental questions of the faith. These are not questions for which you need a PhD to respond intelligently. They're simple, straightforward questions of faith that ask if you have the intention to fulfill vows of service to God and to fellow human beings. They are questions of relationship to the God of the majestic name and questions of relationship to our neighbor. As Jesus said, these are 2 important issues of being right with God, loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. These 7 questions serve this morning as our focal point of review for that life which honors the majestic name of our sovereign God, a life that gives glory to God. These are the questions by which we come into the body of Christ. They are the same questions we must frequently re-ask of ourselves to see if we're living by those vows or if we have slipped off the pathway or if, as we would say in the Methodist tradition, backslidden from our walk with Christ. One quick aside, we remember that this review is for judging ourselves, not our neighbor. Jesus also said that it's very hard to see the tiny splinter in your neighbor's eye when you've got half a live oak tree stuck in your own eye. So let's review those wonderful questions that we hear, affirm, and reaffirm each time we're privileged to participate as someone takes their vows of membership in the body of Christ and His church. Question 1. Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? See, repentance is the starting point for new birth. As a person truly within his heart and mind realizes his sin and how that sin separates him from God. Repentance is a turning away from that life and turning towards obedience to God. In that precious transaction, God is faithful to His promise. And He cleans the slate. We are forgiven. And His Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in our lives, directing, correcting, and pointing us ever to Jesus. Good question. Questions 2, 3, and 4. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? These three are the focus of Trinity Sunday today and are also foundational to Christian faith. God is one, but He's also three, Father, Son, and Spirit. As we said previously, these are questions of faith. There are many theories offered as to how God can be three in one. One God, yet three distinct persons. Some of these are quite bad, like water is sometimes liquid, sometimes ice, sometimes steam. Some of the theories are a little dangerous, like modalism, when He's the Father, He's not the Son or the Spirit. He morphs from one to the next. Well, friends, God is not Odo, the shapeshifter from Star Trek. What we do know is that although this is a difficult doctrine with which to wrestle, it's not so far-fetched. Most thinking people understand that we are not one-dimensional. We're body, we are soul, we are spirit. And that triuneness is at least a hint of the Trinitarian nature of God. We are created in His image. And so some of that triune nature is reflected in His creation. We are complex. Just check out your DNA code book. Question number 5. Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament? This is certainly the question upon which many people get hung up on. We drown in speculation and fears because we think that Scripture is complicated and entirely mystical. Unfortunately, many skeptics reject the Bible as a handful of errors. And yet they've never even read the Bible. I know of several young people who have spent a lot of time in church and they can even quote passages from the Bible, but they've never studied the Scripture for themselves. And they put their own preconceived notions and other people's nonsensical criticisms aside. But as soon as they humble themselves enough to begin to ask God to teach them through the Word, they would know the truth. Faith began to come alive within them, and they begin a lifelong road of having their understanding open to the things of God. This question is tied to the next. Question number 6, do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? The question, do you receive and profess the scriptures, means more than just to hang it on your keychain like a lucky charm. Rather, it means to take it to one's heart with the intention of loving the object of the Christian faith, God, and living by that faith. It means being faithful. It is a monumental question that is not to be answered without some deep soul searching. It means if God said it, as in Scripture, you're going to do everything in your power to live it. God's Word will be more important than your culture, your comfort, or your timeshare at the beach. God's Word is your lifeline to eternity. Question 7, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Loyalty is more than just the way you feel about something. In fact, it has little to do with how you feel and everything to do with how you act. Consider the four words that describe the areas of loyal action. Prayers. Your prayers are more than asking God to help Grandma get over her rheumatism. Your prayers are a holy cabinet meeting with the King of Heaven. It's impossible to pray for someone and then treat that person as if they are insignificant. When you promise your prayers for the church, you take everything about the church to your heart and you hold it up before the Father. And your prayer means you take everything this church is attempting to do in this community to your heart as well. It means you will support worship services, discipleship efforts, mission events, and more. It's your vow of loyalty to pray deeply for your church family and its mission here and in the world. Your presence. The vow of loyalty includes not just praying from afar, My little foolish story about Bertha Peabody's encounter with the devil had a bit of a joke about her occupying that seat in the third pew for many years each and every time that the church doors were open. Well, that was for fun, but I'm glad we have every-timers. I'm thankful for the faithful vow keepers who arrange their lives around what their church is doing rather than fit in church when it's convenient. Loyalty means that you're in marriage, parenting, employment. Should we exempt being there for Christ? We also consider gifts. The tithe is 10% of your income as a gift to God, to be laid on the altar regularly. This is also part of our vow to God and your fellow Christian believers in this family. I'm not going to say a lot about this because God has said all that needs to be said. The scripture in Malachi 3, 8 through 10 says, "Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." How about that? God clearly laid out our choice to be either a thief by withholding our tithe or simply obeying and watching Him bless our socks off. Perhaps that's why whenever I get paid, the first check that I write is for 10% to the church, the storehouse where I worship. I don't want to miss out on any blessing that He has in store for me. Finally, we consider service. To serve means to take a part as you're gifted. This has several layers to it, and it carries the concept of discipleship. To be a disciple or a learner, one who is being trained, means you will submit yourself to being prepared for whatever mission God has called you to fulfill in this life. It means we discover what spiritual gifts we have, and then we go to work sharpening that gift and putting that gift at God's disposal. What's your gift? Where are you supposed to serve? Are you serving there in that role? These are the questions of loyalty and service that go along with your tithe, your presence, and prayers. It's what gives glory to God. Are you satisfied with your answers to the questions? If not, you can change and give God the glory. Let's pray. O Triune God, what an exciting mystery we celebrate today, that You, our God, are three persons in one being. Your essence is so awesome. It's beyond our understanding. Oh, Father, You adopted us as Your children through the death and resurrection of Your Son. Oh, Holy Spirit, You gave us faith in Jesus through expensive and explosive power of the gospel. You testify that we are God's children, and You guarantee our inheritance of eternal glory with Jesus. O Holy Trinity, Your saving love overwhelms us. Keep us as Your own, and each day move us to declare, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with You and with the Holy Spirit, one God through all eternity, as He taught His disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
The Lord has sea and sky.
Listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.